ho, ho! Merry Christmas!
The Ultimate Trivia Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Ultimate Trivia Podcast, the show where knowledge is power and laughter is our only reward. I am your host, Andy, and we got the whole crew here tonight. BQ, Big B, Moose, Man Beef, all of the above.
All of the above.
Good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you. How we doing?
Good. Feeling good.
I'm looking around the room here, and there's a lot of bottles and cans going on.
We've been
it gets
having
me a little
some
emotional.
Fun.
I like it. But Scott, what you got going over there with the checkered? What is that?
This is a Civil Life Oktoberfest.
We tasted
didn't recognize the can, so I was
it's left
that?
Over.
That was one of our cheers beers from an earlier episode, I think. Yeah. Nice. Civil Life.
It's like an Argyle sweater.
Mm. Yeah, yes. Very yeah. good. I'd like hot. A tie like that.
It's like a blanket.
Yeah. Well, that was everybody. Kelly, in the corner.
Hola, tengo sueño.
Feeling good? Mm-hmm. Nicholas.
Season's greetings.
Amen to that. And the good doctor.
Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, et cetera, et cetera.
Scott, don't get political.
politics.
It is our holiday episode. We have now done two of these. Well, we're not done yet with this one, I guess, but we have two Christmas episodes out there. Go ahead and check out last year's if you are in the mood and tis the season. But this one is a little bit different because it's an all play.
Nice. Burr, burr, burr. All right.
Ooh. And a listener submission.
Wow. We have listeners?
Yeah, somebody's listening.
Okay.
They put it on for background noise.
This is another submission from one of our top fans, Kelly from North Carolina.
Super fan.
Top, super I think fan.
Kelly. Safe to North say Carolina. Top fan based
it would
on
be hard
yeah,
to
you're right.
Submission.
Numero uno.
That's right. This is now, I believe, her third episode that we will be performing tonight.
Hey, the next last time, one, slip a check in there, Kelly.
the last one around.
Was Thanksgiving, and I don't know, we struggled out of the gate in that one.
Oh, yeah.
That was rough.
We'll see if we can get a question right in the first four this time.
I don't feel confident.
No, Christmas is not my wheelhouse.
No. Nah.
Anyway, we do have a listener submitted question of the week that we're going to get to first. I happen to like this. I'm going to let you guys decide if you want to turn it, you know, holiday festive or not. It doesn't have to be. And it comes in from Christopher. If you had the talent to write a song for any artist or band ever, live or dead, who would you write it for, and what would the either theme of the song be or the title specifically?
It's difficult.
I've never been asked a question like this.
Wonderful voices.
Wow. I think it's a great question, though.
I agree.
It's a fantastic question. But it
I
is.
Can go so many different emotions or times in your life where I would write a love song by Bryan Adams or a breakup song by...
I mean, Boys to Men was the first group that came.
What about really? Writing like a fun poppy song for like Ozzy Osbourne? you know, like the go the other way, like, you know what I mean? Like mess with him a little bit.
A duet with Britney Spears?
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We said Boys to Men, but I made me think okay, we could write, it could be Down on Bended Knee, but that's for P. Diddy now, based on where he's at. We could go that route, maybe.
You could.
Piece that one together, possibly.
That'd be good. Take that.
Down on Baby Oil.
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
That is, thank you. Oh, Nick, that's great.
So thanks, man. Whose voice do you think in other than your own, right? Like, who do you want to sing your words?
This is tough. I Doc, your music.
Sam Cooke.
I got a few going through my mind.
I don't know. Where would I go with this?
Kelly, keep going.
Sam Cooke. I mean, I'm going classic soul R&B.
Okay.
Sam Cooke, Al Green, Marvin Gaye.
You staying on theme though. You're going to write a love song, something maybe that's played with the lights dim in the background.
Yes. So is that the route we're going? We have a song and we want. The singer to sing our
writing the
gotcha.
Song.
Yeah, okay. Going maybe I was missing that part.
Yep, that's
okay.
The whole line.
That's a good one then, Kelly. I like that.
I mean, then you can go, 112. I mean, you can get into the 90s R&B, Nick. Come on.
One,
we could just get lost in this for about an hour.
Nick just got hot in this room.
Nick's more of a 98 degrees kind of guy, I think. So.
He was complaining about the heat.
Yeah.
There are 90s prom kings and queens that are having flashbacks at
these
various bands. But yeah, Boys to Men came to mind for me, and you guys know me, of course. It's going to be something in the love song, sweet, you know, nothings and things like that. And It'll be, I don't know, specifically, it'll be similarly to Peaceful Easy Feeling. Okay. Home is where the heart is. My heart is where my lady is. That's
I got a lot of things like floating in the head, but I'm going to go with a love song. Try to write a love song and have Freddie Mercury sing it.
Oh,
because of his voice, Bravo, his vocals. Mm-hmm. I'd like to hear like a slow love ballad.
Who are you writing
a
love song for that you want Freddie Mercury to sing it?
I don't know who I'm writing for, but I'm writing for him, I guess.
It's for me, isn't it?
I just want to hear.
You're writing it for me, aren't you?
Well, you know. But you know what I mean? Like a slow song by him, because his voice, his vocals were unbelievable.
Sure.
I would love to.
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think if I wrote anything and just gave it to MJ, it's going to be a hit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, that's true. That's a good point. Yeah. Good point.
So I'd probably go that
route. He's in the room.
Yeah. Feeling it.
KN over there. I don't know.
I guess I got to go. I want Otis Redding to sing a song about some woman who done me wrong. That's what I want.
Done you wrong. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, is there
what's
anything?
Her name, Scott?
That's right. Yeah. Just.
I love Otis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, Motown. It's an easy,
Motown.
I mean, there's just a vibe, right? There's such a feeling to it.
But here's the thing. So, like, I love Motown.
Mm-hmm.
But writing a love song for Motown, it's kind of like, well, that's what they did.
Yeah.
So, I want to hear a slow ballad by, like, Mercury. Twisted it up a little bit because his vocals were phenomenal. You know, like, what he could do with hit the notes he could hit. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know.
I like that. Yeah. So, yeah, how about a female? Did we all choose men, right?
Yeah, we did.
So, pick a female then. Just real quick. We don't have to debate them.
Nice. That was quick.
Nora Jones.
Oh, good answer.
Nora Jones. Yeah. I'm with Kelly. Nora Jones. Yeah.
Okay.
Phenomenal.
I'm going to go Whitney.
Can't go wrong with Whitney.
Go to the top, right?
Yep. Sure.
I have no idea.
Come on, Nick. Throw a lady out.
Do you know any female artists?
My wife listens to some.
Okay.
Prince? Oh, no, wait. That was a dude.
Did you say Prince?
That's a dude.
I know.
That's a man, baby. Bosses.
I don't have a, just pass me. I cannot good. Think. I have no idea.
Terrible podcasting, by the way.
Sorry.
That's all right. All right. Well, thank you, Christopher, for submitting that question. Music is right in our wheelhouse. We'd love that debate. We'll probably continue that later on. And you get a t-shirt code for a free t-shirt from our merch store. If you want one, listeners, all you got to do is submit a question, but it's got to be good enough for us to use on the air. And if we do, we'll send you back a t-shirt code to get a free t-shirt to rep your show in style. Cool.
Great.
Everybody good? Ready to start some trivia?
Fired up.
Christmas. Mm-hmm. That's all I know. Scotty, give us some knowledge here.
Okay. Let's see what we got here. Let's get into the holiday spirit with some Christmas movie trivia.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Nick just perked up a little bit. He wasn't feeling good about this.
Now he's
perked up a little bit.
Yeah. I like it.
From TV specials to big screen favorites, these traditions bring us together year after year. Fun fact, the first Christmas film, Santa Claus, 1898, ran just 76 seconds and used early double exposure effects.
Did you watch that, Nick, with Liz when you guys were in your
did not.
Movie
it wasn't
days?
Up for best movie in 1898, whatever. Yeah.
Wow.
76 seconds.
So silent?
Yeah. They watched.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
But they did something else while they watched that movie.
Sound didn't come around until later. Yeah.
Late 20s.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that's what I got. That's what we're doing.
Well,
okay.
Christmas wasn't really helpful, but okay, sounds good.
So Christmas movies and including specials. TV specials?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be theater release.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool. Everybody ready?
Fire up.
Here we go. It's time for the main event, our 10-question trivia game on Christmas movies. And here's how it works. It's an all-play submitted by North Carolina Kelly. And so we all have two questions. We'll all take turns reading our questions. When the host of that says reveal, all five of us will give our answers. And if we get it right, Nick gives us a point.
Yes, sir.
And if we get it wrong, that is when the real fun begins. Let's see who ends up on top today. And as we do now, a toast to our donators. Producer Amy, who are our donators this week?
Tonight we can drink these drinks from Alex Rivera and Morgan Chase.
Thanks, Alex and Morgan.
Alex and Morgan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Gracias.
Modelo. Modelo Especial is what you have.
Nothing says Christmas like Modelo.
Ah, yes. Feliz Navidad.
There you go.
All right. Question number one. Get those boards ready. Who's got it?
Yep. All right. Here we go. Question number one. In Netflix's The Christmas Chronicles, what real-life celebrity couple appear as Santa and Mrs. Claus.
All right.
Oop. Can you read that one more time, sir?
That I can.
Those opening Brian's Modelo.
Understand. Understood. In Netflix's The Christmas Chronicles, what real-life celebrity couple appear as Santa and Mrs. Claus?
You look like you feel good about it.
My daughter, when it released years ago, my daughter watched this on repeat. All
I feel like December. I know. I feel like I know this one.
What year did it release?
No, it was a while back.
I think, yeah, I think I got it.
The
I think
Christmas Chronicles. What real life couple?
Real life celebrity couple stars in the film.
There you go.
Yeah, I think I got it. I think I do. I feel good about it.
Blank.
I feel pretty good about it.
I struggled with this movie, but I'm not a Christmas guy and not a Christmas movie.
You struggled
movie
like just watching the movie?
Especially as often as we did.
Oh, okay.
It was just nonstop.
Gotcha. Hmm. I feel like the clock's ticking here, Doc. What do you think?
Just giving everyone another 8 seconds.
Eight? This is a bull.
I don't know. Why don't you read the question one more time instead of having dead air?
Trying to ride this
the bull. World's longest trivia. In Netflix's The Christmas Chronicles, what real-life celebrity couple appear as Santa and Mrs. Claus?
I got nothing. I can't even come up with anything.
I think I have the guy, and I can't even think. I mean, I think I know who the female is.
Too long of a
but
break.
I don't remember her in the movie at all.
Oh, okay.
So, it's interesting.
All right, let's reveal. Nick, myself, and Andy all wrote Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn. Brian wrote Tom Hanks and his wife.
Nice.
Kelly abstained.
Dang it. That's you guys are right.
He doesn't recognize I can't think marriage.
I can see Tom Hanks' wife. I don't know her name, though.
I don't know. I think you guys are right, though. I do.
Oh, I know I'm right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. She plays Mrs. Claus.
And if he knows he's right, I know I'm right.
Yeah, there you go.
The answer is Kurt Russell and Goldie
yes,
Hawn.
Yes, it is.
That there is a jailhouse musical number.
Minute. Are they married?
It's a couple. Didn't say married.
Oh, okay,
married.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
2025, right. Brian.
Celebrity couple.
Okay.
They're partners.
They've been together since the 80s.
That's true.
One of the cheesiest scenes
I'm just saying, I thought, yeah.
I've ever seen is this jailhouse musical number in that movie. Otherwise, it's decent.
Oh, it's a musical? I'm out.
It's not. No. Though. That's the point. It's,
does
this,
it have
breaks
a
out
song
of
and dance?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
No. But it's not like telling the story. Well, yeah. Okay.
you can't
fine,
defend
it's
it.
A musical.
You can't defend it.
Yeah.
Doc?
You want to learn more about this,
oh,
Nick?
All we can.
Please.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, longtime partners, Kurt and Goldie, bring the holiday cheer in this 2018 movie, The Christmas Chronicles. With Kurt as Santa and Goldie making a cameo as Mrs. Claus, the duo reunite in 2020 for The Christmas Chronicles 2. In this holiday adventure, siblings Kate and Teddy try to catch Santa on camera and tumble into a North Pole journey most kids can only dream about.
Wow. It's a fact. Kurt Russell has never made a bad movie.
Prove me wrong.
Don't say it. You're full of it. Move on to question number two.
It's not true.
You're full of it. Here we go. Yeah, question two.
I sent you a text not too long ago about that.
There's a handful of bad movies.
I'm sure you were heavily medicated from the surgery or something. All right, question two. You guys ready?
Yep.
All right, here we go. In the 1964 stop-motion classic Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the misfit elf Hermie dreams of a very different career. What is it?
Oh, man.
Wow.
Look at Kelly all over this.
It's like your favorite movie,
Redemption.
Kelly, or what?
It's up there for sure. Christmas movie.
I got two things in my head. They're both ridiculous.
They're both fighting each other.
So 1964, Rainsels. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, yeah. Yeah. The misfit elf Hermie. That's how you say it, right, Hermie?
Sure.
Dreams of a very different career. What is it? I need a moment. Talk amongst yourselves.
No, that we will.
All right.
Walk yourself through it. I'm not helping you out.
Yeah.
No, we do. Like I vividly remember watching all these, you know, the cheesy claymation.
Yeah.
Every year with the family.
Hell yeah.
That and the Charlie Brown specials. Mm-hmm. I always watch those. So I watch those with my kids now.
Yeah.
It holds their interest for about 5 minutes tops.
It's but I think
you're like running around and you're watching the movie by yourself.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly.
Not I feel like claymation is underappreciated when you figure out how they actually shoot that stuff.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's just it's like taken for granted that it's just in front of you, but
yeah.
It's a little creepy.
Quite a process.
Claymation's always a little bit creepy.
Big fan of Robot Chicken also.
All right. Does everybody have an answer?
Yes.
So,
yep.
1964, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Hermie has dreams of being a very different career than what he is, what he has. So let's reveal. Sorry. Cobbler from Andy. Boilmaker from Brian. Dentist from Kelly. Dentist from Brian or Scotty. I have Baker. I'm feeling it's dentist.
I swear I was started writing the D for dentist. I thought, that's ridiculous. There's no
You're
way.
An anti-dentist.
They do have their own school.
And the answer is, this weird elf wanted to be a dentist.
Who doesn't?
What a weirdo.
That's a fine
profession. I mean, he just likes teeth.
Do elves have bad teeth?
I don't know. I don't know if they have teeth. Or they like fangs?
Not, with not thanks around. To Hermie.
They got the candy, right? Candy canes all the time.
Oh, yeah. They got bad teeth. Oh, not
terrible. Teeth
just genetics terrible. In the elven, you know, lineage.
Long, many, many years of bad,
just,
bad dental
just
hygiene.
All the,
they're basically British.
They're
all British.
English, yeah.
You beat me to it. They're British.
Let's hear a little bit about this. After the 1964 premiere, producers were flooded with letters from children who were worried about the misfit toys left behind on the island of misfit toys. So they added the now standard ending where Santa, guided by Rudolph, returns to pick them up.
How about that?
Not sure what that has to do with this old dentist thing.
It's terrible.
So disappointed. Oh, Kelly, we appreciate.
Same movie?
Oh, you're.
Oh, I'm talking strictly to myself.
Oh, I thought you were. I thought you were bashing really Kelly for her flavor text. All right. Well, who's got question three?
That is Andrew. Andy has it.
I want to know: did Hermie ever become a dentist?
I don't remember. I don't know.
Is he a dentist?
Hermie, I don't know if Hermie fell on hard times.
Producer Amy says yes.
Started slinging rock.
Ready for number three?
To increase his dentist business.
No, we're not.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, we're all right. All right. Question number three. At the climactic gathering around the Christmas tree in It's a Wonderful Life, everyone links arms and breaks into it. Which well-known classic song?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's two songs at the end of this movie.
Classic Christmas song.
Nope. I think I'm wrong, but...
Yeah, me too.
I'm going to take a guess here. I don't, you know.
I don't really have a locked-in answer.
It's a good movie. I actually saw it for the first time a couple of years ago, but that's a tough one.
There's a great King of Queens bit with Jerry Stiller. He's watching it for the first time. He's like, there's gambling and boozing and nightlife. Yeah. It was way better before. All right. Yeah. All right, boards are busy. Nick is deep in thought, reaching into
like,
the
like I've never I don't know the movie. Like I really have not seen it start to finish or anything. Yeah. But like, there's a song that's there, and like I'm seeing it for somehow, but I cannot put the words in place.
You got a tune?
Kind of, kind of. It's frustrating the crap out of me right now.
Hum it.
Everybody talks, so he can't hum it.
I know.
You
guys are jerks. Oh man. I got nothing.
Nothing
can't
there. Anybody else?
I'm frozen.
All right. Let's reveal. We got Silent Night from Kelly. White Christmas from Brian.
Auld Lang Syne.
Thank you. From Scotty. I got White Christmas.
I wrote that down first. I think that's more New Year's Eve.
But it is. Yeah, it is. But I think it is at the end.
I think it's
the
song.
I don't know if they're singing
that's
it.
That's the one I wrote down.
All right.
I was going to ask about spelling.
Auld Lang Syne.
S-Y-N-E.
Well done. I didn't say it
correctly. Hum that for me. Sing that for me. I want to make sure
it's the New Year's Eve song.
Yeah. I know, but I can't.
Old acquaintance.
Yes, Dad. Okay. I could not piece that together. Like I had it. I just could not grab it.
Spell? I had no idea how to spell it.
Auld Lang Syne.
I still wouldn't have got the name of it. I never would have got the name, though.
Spelling counts.
Who are you?
Yeah, I couldn't remember how to spell the last word. Yeah,
spelling extraordinary.
No, I literally had that written down, and I'm like, that's not it.
Say it again.
That's what I was thinking of.
Auld Lang Syne.
Like, I just see them all together, like kind of swaying.
They call it Auld Lang Syne, but I don't know how it's officially.
Auld Lang Syne is the traditional New Year's farewell, sung to bid the old year goodbye and welcome the new. The lyrics were popularized by Robert Burns in 1788, and the now familiar tune from 1799 is based on a traditional Scottish melody.
Even if I could have hummed it, even if I would have got the words in my head, I'd still...
If it's not Scottish, I did not know crap. The
There's no way I would have known the title.
I get that one and the graduation song mixed up in my head all the time. Oh. You know, so I wouldn't have done any good.
Who's got four?
That would be I.
Do it. Do it.
Do it. Yep. All right. In Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas, what's the name of the Grinch's loyal dog? Let me say that again. In Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas, what's the name of the Grinch's loyal dog?
I think I got it. Just feels right. I don't know. There's not confidence in the room, I'll tell you that.
No.
No. I can see the dog.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm trying to... Man.
Where? You see it where? Where you see it?
Like in my head, okay, oh. Scott?
Mind's eye.
There's not a dog in the room, is there?
Not yet.
Just you.
Kelly's getting one down over here. Scotty, did you write already?
I wrote a name down, and I feel like it's right, okay. But I don't know.
Yeah,
give it one more time here.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
In Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas, what's the name of the Grinch's loyal dog?
I don't know this. Okay, Scott, you're killing Christmas.
I don't know if I'm right, and Brian still has to write his answer down.
Okay, looks like we're finalizing. Oh, I'm not hosting. What am I doing?
No,
wait, I'm sitting here and wait.
You guys, everybody got an answer? Let's go around the room here. We got Max from Andy, Scrap from Nick, Max from Scotty, Spot from Kelly. I got Brown.
Oh, that'd have been good.
And Max, huh?
Correct.
I think so.
Two people put that down. You feel pretty good about it.
Again, Scott's Mr. Christmas over
here. He is.
Am I?
Well, right now you are.
Okay.
The answer is Max.
Oh, baby.
As soon as I saw Max, I'm like, that's...
Yeah. I think that... So my oldest son has a new dog. You guys met him tonight, as a matter of fact. His name is Max, and I just think there was a reference made recently about that.
Really?
Otherwise, I would have not been able to come up with it.
Yeah.
Well, they call me the Grinch because I hate Christmas.
Right.
Course,
but, yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Right. Way to bring us down.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Kelly, for writing this.
Tell us all about it, Brian.
Dr. Seuss introduced the Grinch in 1957 after spotting his own post-Christmas scowl in the mirror. The 1966 TV special made him famously green and features Boris Karloff of Frankenstein's Frame as narrator and voice. Jim Carrey's 2000 movie leans on his improvisation, giving the Grinch mischief and a new generational spark.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And then there was a... Cumberbatch version animated, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's... Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, that's right.
I think most people did.
Yeah, you're right.
Is that right?
All right. Did you give me my point, Nicholas?
Yeah, unfortunately.
He was better as a dragon.
Most people are.
That's kicking butt.
He's not.
Yeah.
All right, you guys ready for question number five?
Sure. Hit it.
In the 2003 film Elf, Buddy's motto is, "The best way to spread Christmas cheer is blank." In the 2003 film Elf, Buddy's motto is, "The best way to spread Christmas cheer is blank."
It's not in there. Everybody else is busy writing. I can't come up with anything.
Just saying blank, that makes me wondering, is it a one word or is it multiple words?
There's just one long blank after it.
I'll tell you, it's multiple words.
So you know it. Okay. I feel a little better because I did write down multiple words.
Hey, look at you, Nick.
It said, by telling Scott he sucks. That's the answer. That's how you spread Christmas cheer.
That is the answer. He nailed it.
I don't know.
I'm just not sure there's a word. I think I'm on the right track, at least.
Can I get it again?
In the 2003 film Elf, Buddy's motto is, "The best way to spread Christmas cheer is blank."
Okay. We'll give it a shot. You got this, B?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I like my answer, but I'm not sure it's right, you know? But I like my answer.
We've talked about this many times. This is a movie I have seen in completion in pieces. I've seen the whole thing.
I like Elf. I think it's good.
Oh, it's probably one of the best Christmas movies out there.
It's a good one.
Yeah, you're but a scholar I don't, for the Christmas Chronicle.
Yeah, right.
When he's down in the mailroom, that scene.
Yeah.
You know, that's hilarious.
Very entertaining.
Yeah, it's good.
So everybody have an answer down.
Sure.
Yeah, yep.
Sure.
Senor, let's reveal. I'll go from my left. Brian says, to sing for all to hear. Andy has giving gifts. Nick says, sing a Christmas song for everyone to hear. Scott has singing loud for all to hear.
Mm.
So we got a couple that are very similar.
I wasn't sure about the rhyming part, so I added that in. But
I believe, since I know I'm wrong.
It's something to do with singing.
Anybody has it exactly right, they should get
the Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
In my opinion.
Take the point.
If you didn't hear him, Scott said, I'll take the point, because the answer is singing loud for all to hear.
There you nice go. Job.
Well done. A point for that?
We discussed it before.
He had it right on the nose.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to win anyway. It doesn't matter.
Well, Scott's running away with this.
He is smoking us.
Scott has.
If nobody had the exact verbiage, I think everybody could have gotten it. Or yeah, not Scott.
Everybody.
Well, singing for all to hear, but having the loud, that's a very specific word. You had it in there.
If it's a quote, right?
Yeah, he quoted it.
I didn't see any quotation marks.
No, I don't like
They're air quotes.
He doesn't know how to spell, and he doesn't
know grammar
either.
I put the ellipsis, though, in front of the sentence.
I appreciate
it. It's funny when you say ellipsis.
I love an ellipsis.
Say ellipsis.
I love ellipsis. Say it.
Nope.
All right. Will Ferrell plays Buddy, a human who accidentally ends up at the North Pole as a baby and later heads to New York to find his real father. Among its many quotables, I passed through 7 levels of candy cane forest, through the sea of swirly twirly gumdrops, and then I walked through the Lincoln Tunnel.
That's beautiful.
That's beautiful. That Buddy the Elf.
Nick, you got a Mark Queener koozie over there?
If he's class of 74, I feel like he's older than that.
No, that's his class. Yeah.
Well,
okay.
Whatever Scott provides. You guys want to hear a score check? That was 5.
Yeah, let's hear from our sponsors first.
Okay, do it. All right. Well, here we go from worst to first. Hang on, sorry, I'm pouring my beer. All right, worst of first, Brian. Sorry, bud, you bring up the rear because you have not answered a question right yet.
Oh, no.
It was really close on the one, though.
Yeah, but
I
you were
really
close,
and you guys decided to host me. I get it.
Yeah. Let's see here. I and Kelly both have 1, so really, really, really putting up a show. Andy, you have 2.
Suck on that.
Yeah, impressed. Doc?
Yeah?
Eat it.
You definitely have the Christmas spirit because you are smoking us because you have all 5 correct so far.
Hey,
oh
how about
gosh,
that?
I didn't realize that.
Man. Okay,
Christmas spirit is in this guy. Done with
these all plays. Scott keeps killing the all plays, I think. There might be a trend here.
I think he's got something on the side with the, like, he gets the emails or something. I'm not sure how it works.
So, maybe.
Something. I don't know. It's a bull crap.
That could be.
Bull crap.
All right, well, here we go with question number 6, to the envelope. Wow. In the 1954 classic White Christmas, what are the first names of the singing duo known as the Haynes Sisters?
What?
I watched this movie for the first time last year, but I have no idea.
I've never seen this movie before.
I'd never heard of the movie.
I saw something about how good it was or...
I didn't know Christmas was a thing in 1954.
I mean, so yes, to help you out,
2,000 years old.
Hey, read that again.
I think you're just going to be write down 2 women's names is the short version. But here's the actual question: in the 1954 classic White Christmas, what are the first names of the singing duo known as the Haynes Sisters?
Got it. No, I don't.
Okay. Feels right.
This feels right.
Yeah. You know.
What feels right about it?
That rhymes.
Hey, I did the same thing.
Literally the only thing that feels
too.
Good.
Yeah, I did the same thing.
Sarah and Kara.
Right, exactly.
I'm going to say this. I'm wrong, but I like my answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a good answer.
Are we going to start a group? A girl group?
Good answer.
Can we say it out loud?
No, the girl group name?
That's a reasonable question. Okay.
All right. Well, does everyone have something written down?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here we go. I'm going to start with what Kelly wrote down. Gertrude and Rita.
That's a
Brian
good
wrote down Carol and Lynn.
Mm-hmm.
Bonnie and Connie from Andy. Over to Nick with Gloria and Margaret.
Sure.
Okay.
Those are old-timey names.
And then I wrote Millie and Billy.
Why is Millie? I just like Scott's probably right.
Yeah, right. At this point.
At this point.
If I were to get this right, it would be.
He's like the expert
Christmas
on this.
Miracle.
Yeah. A Christmas miracle.
don't know. Did anyone have either of these names just out of curiosity? Okay. The correct answer is Betty and Judy.
Oh, no.
Man, but those are really good names for 1954, though.
Wow.
No, I don't know anything about this movie, so I've have nothing to add.
I've never seen this movie a second of it. I couldn't tell you anybody that's in it. Maybe you have some flavor text about it.
Big Crosby's in it?
I'm dying to tell you more about this movie.
I can't wait.
Because it's two paragraphs. No, it's not that long, but it's kind of long. Shot in Technicolor, that's important, and Paramount's new Vista Vision. White Christmas, originally released in 1954, isn't where the title tune debuted. Because Crosby first sang that tune in 1942 in the movie Holiday Inn.
42. Okay.
Yeah.
So it
I don't know that either.
An homage to the song.
I'm lost.
Sure.
Okay.
Nick, stay with me.
Okay.
In the movie, since you're asking about it.
This is the third beer he's cracked since you started this, okay. By the way.
It's true.
World War II pals. They weren't friends. They were pals.
Okay.
Bob Wallace, played by Crosby. So he's in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And Phil Davis, played by Danny Kaye, become a hit song and dance team, meet the Haynes sisters, and then head to Vermont to stage a show that saves their old war generals failing in.
What kind of show?
An act.
Singing?
Singing act.
Singing and dancing?
Song and dance team.
Yeah. I'm lost.
And you watch this, Kevin.
I've seen it, yeah. What?
Under what, like, did you seek it out, or was it just something you stumbled
saw,
on?
It was probably last Christmas, I believe, and I
believe.
I was getting ready to go into the lyrics. I gave him my heart very next day.
Tore it apart.
No, but so I was reading something about it, and I decided to check it out because they said it's a great Christmas movie. So
was it?
I mean, for 1954.
Doesn't hold up.
If you keep that in mind.
Yeah.
You made it through the whole movie?
I did.
That's good.
So what I read, did that sound familiar at all?
Yeah, very familiar.
Okay. Mm.
I knew Bing Crosby was in it, but I couldn't remember any of the actresses. The Haynes sisters.
Kelly, we don't need any more facts. Thank you.
I'm really scared right now.
Thank you for your time,
Kelly. I'm
going to
go over, I think. I'm feeling like I'm going to go over. I really do.
I'm nervous for you.
Confidence is high. All right.
Nervous.
I have question 7. You guys ready to move on?
Be the first
that being
punch.
Said, I could care less.
I know, buddy.
The all first right. punch in podcast history is happening soon.
All right, here we go.
Dodge it.
Question 7. Name the Christmas movie famous for the line, "Nobody's walking out on this fun, old-fashioned family Christmas."
Oh, I think I got that.
Try to read it kind of dry. I didn't realize what the line until I started getting into it. I get it.
Boy, it sounds familiar, but I can't place it.
Nick, you got this for sure?
Hundo!
Oh, boy.
Why are you yelling?
Yeah.
Because I had to sit back so I could write away from my microphone. You guys have I don't know, maybe I don't have that luxury. You guys able to write?
I have the arm.
It's the jib.
You got to get it up in the air.
I like it here because I can go back and forth with it. If I have heavy breathing, I can sit away from it. So anyway, here we go. Name the Christmas movie famous for the line, "Nobody's walking out on this fun, old-fashioned family Christmas." Yes, hundo for me, Kelly.
I think I'm right too, but... Yeah, we'll see. Mm. Only time will tell.
Yep.
Yeah. I feel like this is not a movie you know. And I feel like I know that from.
Oh, crap.
I know that from previous.
Oh, no, I feel
like. I don't want to say too. I'm going to get used to say
After you said that, now I think I'm wrong.
I'm changing it.
I actually don't mind because Scotty's just so far ahead of us. So if I helped you out there.
Oh, that's true. We could team up against
him a little
bit. Because
I feel like a question about this movie was asked in a previous Christmas episode. And he did not know the film, and it seemed like it was a layup at the time.
I got you.
So maybe I know I'm
wrong.
Good.
But whatever.
I don't want you to owe for Brian, but I'm not against it.
I know.
All right. Yeah. So let's go ahead and reveal. We have A Christmas Story from Andy, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation from Brian, A Christmas Story from Kelly.
That's what I had.
Christmas
down.
Vacation from Scotty. I also had Christmas Vacation. That dude, is going to be the, it's gonna be the right answer, Brian.
That is crazy.
Hang on.
I'm gonna punch two people tonight.
You had Christmas Vacation and you changed it?
Yes.
You said you didn't know it. I was like, he had to know that.
No, he did not know. If I recall the last Christmas episode, he did not know. There was a question about Christmas Vacation. He did not know.
Yeah, what was Clark going to buy with his bonus?
Yeah, maybe that
I
was it.
I did not know he was going to buy a pool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You remember.
I remember. No,
I was like,
you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
No, Brian, you're good. It is Christmas Vacation. It is.
No offer.
Yeah.
Yay, Big B, you know, on the board.
If we wanted, I don't think this rule is needed, but it is. She wrote National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. You got all of it. Yeah.
Did we discuss this earlier? If he got the exact correct answer, he should be the only one awarded points.
He can have it. He'd be the only one, but no.
I don't care. Yeah. I know what you guys are talking about. I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
We're
good. So, Christmas Vacation is correct.
It's a title, but not a quote.
I know.
Yeah. But I'm pretty sure, I think you're right. That was the question.
Well, I had in my head that Kelly had never seen A Christmas Story, and it was from Aunts and Uncles when...
That
he may have
I had it. Not seen A Christmas Story for most of my life until, late in my 30s probably.
Yeah.
And I had National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
You had that first. Huh?
Hmm. And then when you started talking about not knowing the movie, I thought you were referring to Christmas Story.
No,
it's not your fault. It's my fault. I should have had a little more conviction there.
It is your fault. I'll agree. Well, Clark has one goal in this holiday staple, a perfect family Christmas. What he gets is comedic mayhem, 25,000 lights, a monster tree, a disappeared bonus, and Cousin Eddie in the driveway. Released in 1989, it's the third film in the Vacation series.
Yep.
I think we all know that.
Okay.
Vacation series or the National Lampoon series?
No, Lampoon's first bigger than that. But
first one's going to Wally World. Vegas. Second one's Europe, right?
Yep.
Yeah. National Lampoon's. The first one's just called Vacation, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then it's European Vacation.
Yeah.
Now Christmas.
They're going
vacation.
To Wally World and then
Vegas. Yeah.
Then Vegas Vacation.
Yes. Yeah.
That's number four, right?
Correct.
Vegas. I believe so.
Yeah.
All right. That was number seven. Who's got eight?
I think it's Andy.
Hey, I do. How about that?
Hey.
Every day's a new adventure.
And Brian is now on the board.
I'm on the board.
Good job, B. No Dr. O for you, baby.
We're tied.
All right.
Tight race, Kelly.
Number eight. In the first two Home Alone films, Kevin spends each adventure in a different big city.
Oh.
Name them both.
Oh, come on now. I'm on the board again.
Atta baby.
Cap off.
I don't know the second one.
Really?
I was trying to think if the question would have been like, where did the family go?
Because
I know one of those. One. I know the first one. I don't think I know the second one.
I don't think I know the second one offhand.
Yeah.
Where they went, you mean?
Yeah, where the family actually goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to decide.
I wonder if it's the same place.
The first one, if there's
it's
a
not,
new
it's
one.
Not the same place.
There's an
or not.
What, oh, the place the family goes is not the same.
Same place, no.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. Okay.
So the question is, where is he stuck?
Yes.
In each.
Oh, let me read it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please do. We got time.
I dropped it. Hold on. In the first two Home Alone films, Kevin spends each adventure in a different big city. Name both cities.
These are United States cities.
You know, they're somewhere on Earth, maybe.
You know, the first one is not really in the city.
I know what I'm thinking.
The first one, and but, where it was, but I don't know if that's going to be the right answer.
I'm going with the big city that I'm,
I'm going with the question. They're calling it a big city.
Yeah.
Oh, good call. Big city.
Yeah.
That's right.
So I'm sticking with that.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Anyway, let's reveal. We got Chicago and New York from Brian and Kelly and Scott and Nick and Andy. Here it is, since I didn't show it. What is the suburb? I think it's Aurora.
That's what I thought it was. Yeah. But
it might be where the John Hughes. When he always big on Shermer.
Actual house is
Sherman. Too. Yeah,
Sherman or Shermer, Illinois. Sherman.
It is in fact Chicago and New York.
Yes, it is.
Very, very good.
Everybody gets a point.
I almost wrote down Paris.
That's where they went.
Yeah,
in the second?
Yeah, because the house, I think they first used
to... The first one, they went to Paris.
Yes.
Yeah, first.
It's like, what did this guy do to send that many people to Paris for Christmas vacation?
He does all right.
That's right.
He lives in Sherman, Illinois.
It's probably a dentist.
Where'd they go in the second one, though?
I don't remember.
Miami. I don't know.
I think they went to Miami.
Ooh, okay.
People cut there, B. Somebody should fact check that.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure, but I think it was Miami. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, no.
I thought it was Miami.
All right. Well, Kevin... Macaulay Culkin is accidentally left alone by his parents, played by Catherine O'Hara and John Hurt, and must face burglars Harry and Marv, played by Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern. Fun fact, during the filming, Pesci kept his distance from Culkin and remained a bit gruff to keep Culkin's reactions real. The hijinks kicked off a 6-film franchise.
Jeez.
They went 6.
I did not either.
I know they went 3. That was the...
They went off the grid. Yeah.
One was enough.
Yeah,
I thought 2 was
kid
better.
From, we've talked maybe many one times of the kids about this. From, with Home Improvement. Home Improvement.
Oh,
wasn't he
Jonathan Taylor Thomas?
Wasn't he one of the?
Sounds pretty good.
I think so.
They did go to Miami. I just fact.
Oh,
good
nice
job.
Work. Nice work.
Bonus point.
There we go. You got that score?
Yeah. After eight, worst to first, Kelly and Brian both have 2. Andy, you and I have 3.
Eat it.
And Doc has 7.
Oh, he can be caught if the last one's worth 10.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to work out that way. Who's got 9?
Worth 50 points.
I have number 9.
All righty.
Scott gets 1 point for this. The rest of us is 8.
I like it.
I do like that.
All right. In A Christmas Carol, the original story, not the Muppet version, what is the name of Scrooge's former business partner who returns as a ghost to warn him of his miserable fate?
Not sure it's worth picking up the board.
Dogs. Nick, go ahead and put me down for that point.
Oh, goodness.
God, you're good. I got to tip my hat to you. That is, oh, man.
Cheater. He cheats because he knows stuff. He's using his brain on accident.
Sits around and watches lots of movies with his wife. You guys have a good relationship. I'm jealous.
Kelly, do you know this story? Do you know the Christmas Carol? Like, have you seen this movie?
And this is the original, too.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know.
In various versions, stories. Yeah.
Have you written an answer down?
No, I have not. No, I do not know the answer.
So that's a reasonable question.
It is, yeah.
Okay.
That's a reasonable question. All right.
So let me say I may have read it wrong. I believe we have a typo here.
Okay.
Try again.
All right.
So it says warm instead of worn.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh. So in A Christmas Carol, the original story, not the Muppets version, what is the name of Scrooge's former business partner who returns as a ghost to warn him of his miserable fate?
Oh, I like warm better, personally. Let's just keep it that way.
Sure. Definitely warn.
Yeah. It's got to be worn out.
I got nothing.
That was interesting.
Kelly, you writing something down? All right.
Sure. Why not?
All right.
Oh, I'm waiting on Brian to write down.
Take your time.
Take your time.
I had to read it. All right. You guys ready to reveal?
Sure.
We're ready.
All right. Let's reveal.
Blank.
Andy has a blank. Nick has a blank. We got Jacob Marley from Scotty. Bart Starr from Kelly. And I got Jim Masterson.
Oh, that's a good name.
Nice.
Strong.
Is that a real person?
I have a feeling it's...
No.
Okay. That's a good answer.
Well, what'd you put down,
probably
Scott?
Is a real person.
Well, I mean, somewhere.
Guarantee it's Jacob, there's a guy named Jim Masterson.
Jacob
Marley. Jim Masterson, if you're out there,
yeah,
shoot us an email.
Hit us up. We'll get you a t-shirt.
Buy us around.
All right. The correct answer is... Jacob Marley.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. I thought you were just
being stupid.
Wow.
Look how proud he is.
Wow. I'm so proud. I mean, maybe read a book.
Warned by his late partner, Jacob Marley, and visited by 3 spirits, Christmas past, present, and yet to come, Mr. Ebenezer Scrooge transforms into a kinder and more generous man. Charles Dickinson's A Christmas Carol was first published in London in December of 1843, which I think about that. Dad.
Good old Chuck.
Chuck knows what he's doing.
Old Chuck.
Yeah, I thought
this movie has been made like
Jim Masterson
50 times.
Yeah.
As, you know.
I know the Bill Murray version.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Sure.
That's pretty funny.
It's not bad.
All right, who's got 10?
You can't bend over.
No, the Michael.
Choke you.
Headphones will...
Okay.
Rip off.
I'll let that one slide then.
Number 10?
Who's got 10?
I believe Kelly does.
I do. We're going Ray in order counterclockwise.
Are we still fighting out second, or has that been decided?
Yeah, there's still a chance for it.
All right.
You
know? Could be a 4-way tie for a second.
Going down.
Ooh,
we'll do the tiebreaker.
The tiebreaker
for second place. Yeah. We will.
We'll determine the first loser. All right. You guys ready for question 10?
Yep.
In which action holiday movie does an elevator open to reveal a thug in a Santa hat with "Now I have a machine gun, ho ho ho"?
Yes,
written in blood on his
shirt. I love you, Kelly.
And I read the question again.
You don't have to.
In which action holiday movie does an elevator open to reveal a thug in a Santa hat with "Now I have a machine gun, ho ho ho" written in blood on his shirt?
It's fantastic.
Thug.
Great movie.
Yeah.
Great movie.
While Kelly's writing, Nick, I was flipping between The Big Lebowski and Predator the other night.
Wow.
Is there a better night than flipping between those two
That's
movies?
A tough night. Where do you land?
And
you go back and forth.
How do I
you
know, just but the commercials,
you go
commercials
back
line
forth.
Up, man. That's tough.
That is tough. But yeah. Do you just stay
wherever you were until commercial, and then popped over.
Then you flip
on over.
You hope for the best.
Pretty good. I
think I'm going to stick. I'm going to stick with Predator, and then I'll go back and watch Big Lebowski
in its entirety.
Depends what kind of mood you're in.
That's true.
That's very true. That's very true. All right, guys, let's reveal our answers. Scott has Die Hard. We have Die Hard all the way around.
All the way around. I'm so glad it was included as a Christmas movie. That is definitive.
It is a Christmas movie.
Well, let me check the answer. Let me read the answer in case.
Okay. I'm not sure there's more than one out there. Right. Well, there's more than one Die Hard.
The answer is Die Hard.
Ooh. Oh, hey, all right.
Give me a year, guys. You got a year?
88.
Yeah.
It's
88. Well 88. Done. Since he nailed it, I'm not going to listen to the rest of your crappy answers. The age-old debate rages on, but many fans call Die Hard a Christmas movie. After all, it's set at an office holiday party. When terrorists crash the festivities, John McClane brings the adrenaline and the one-liners.
What's the name of the building?
Nakatomi Plaza.
There you go, boys. There you go.
Dang it.
All right, well, that's 10 questions, guys. That's Do we have a winner?
Well, Doc ran away with it.
I know.
He got 9.
That is
wow.
Bravo. He got 9.
Bravo, Doc.
Round of applause.
Congratulations.
Sorry, I did not know the Haynes sisters.
Betty and Judy. You'll never forget it.
File that away.
I've already forgotten. You could literally ask me that question.
I'm just glad I didn't go over it. I was worried about going over it.
That was tough.
I'll take it.
Kelly writes a tough trivia. She does.
She does.
She writes tough ones.
She thinks more of us than she should.
Apparently.
But you know what? Keep writing them. We love you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. She always lets us know how she does, too. I'd love more listeners to do that for us. All right. So let's go ahead and open the tiebreaker here. She put the time into writing.
Oh, yeah. Let's have some fun.
Let's at least give it a read here. How many different characters does Tom Hanks voice in The Polar Express, including
that's a great question.
That is a great
question. That is a good question.
Seven.
Seven's your guess?
28.
Wow. Okay.
I'll go six.
Okay. Six. Nicholas, this is one you've admitted to has played in your house a few times.
I'm trying to go through in my head. Like, I'm at 4 or 5 right now. But who knows how many he did that you really don't know he did. Sure. I'm just going with 5.
Okay. I'm going to stick with 2. I'm going to go with the unobvious answer.
Okay.
And
the hobo.
Oh, was it the hobo?
It's probably closer to 7.
I'm sure I'm right.
6 is the correct answer.
Right. Hey. So I won this trivia, right? That's what happened.
It makes you a winner.
That one was worth 27 points.
makes Kelly in dead last.
It was the conductor, the hobo, Santa, the Scrooge puppet, hero boy's father, adult hero boy, and narrator.
How much money did he make from this movie?
Movies?
How much money did he make from this movie?
A whole bunch, evidently.
Sure, a lot.
I wonder if he gets royalties off of the little train tours that they do.
We'll call Rita. Right. Find out.
Call Rita.
Rita Wilson.
Yeah.
Rita Wilson.
Rita Volleyball.
Is that the right answer?
Yeah.
Oh, we looked it up.
We looked it up. Somebody looked it up.
I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, it's a mix between his wife and the volleyball from Castaway.
Oh, that's right. All right, who has got our closer?
Well, what is the one holiday / Christmas gift you wanted but never received? It can be as a child or an adult. So what is the one holiday / Christmas gift you wanted but never received?
I guess it's a new family.
Scott's
here.
I'm joking.
Holy smokes.
They have mutual wants.
I wanted a telescope from as little as I can remember until the day I graduated college.
You have one now.
And my friends bought it for me. Like my
peers.
That's
awesome. That's
because they knew I had always wanted it.
That's really cool.
The G.I. Joe battleship.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Every year I wake up and still look for that.
Still hope it's there. You can probably get it. $10 billion.
In 1980 or 90, it was still like $150 at that time.
Oh,
it's like $20,000 now.
Oh, I'm sure a mint from back then. Millennium Falcon probably made that list, although that wasn't as expensive.
I can't think of anything particular. It was probably some very expensive Star Wars.
But I will tell you this, ever since I've been about 16 or so, like your parents would always ask you for a Christmas list. Mm-hmm. And I continued that tradition well into my 40s.
Of giving them a Christmas list?
Of giving my mom specifically a Christmas
list.
That's
awesome.
And every year I had a Jeep on my Christmas list.
Yeah.
And I still don't have a
check. Yeah, no. It's still on the list. Does. You still turn it in?
Huh?
Your sister has it.
My sister does. Yeah. I call that my Jeep. It's she just pays for it.
Letting her use it.
So if there was an unfortunate accident, do you think that Jeep would land in your driveway?
This would not be exculpatory at all.
Okay.
It's him. I get a new brother. Yeah. Whatever.
Nick, I'm going to go out on a limb and suggest your memory is failing you.
I'd have no... shock.
Nick, yeah. Big shock.
He never wanted anything.
Yeah, never.
He's one of the tool sets.
No, it's true. I got nothing.
He's wanted greatness, beard, and responsibility since he was in kindergarten. Like,
I don't remember asking. I mean, we always made a Christmas list, but I don't remember asking for anything that was like extraordinary where it wasn't a possibility.
Oh, so you got everything you asked for. Okay, yeah,
maybe. Wow. I don't know. Okay, maybe. My parents were awesome. They're great.
On a different level.
Yeah, she became
one of those rich kids.
Yeah. Well, you know. You see his house, two basements.
Oh, here we go.
No, I think those maybe become a little more prominent, but less memorable as you get older, right? Because your tastes get more expensive, right? We grew up in the 90s. Well, our teen years were in the 90s when personal computers and things were becoming more of a part of it, but they were still pretty expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I can imagine that was on people's wish lists. Yeah. That never happened, at least. Cars, you know, cars are always popular.
Yeah.
Doc, there's nothing that comes to mind.
No, it's probably a Star Wars toy that cost a lot of money that we couldn't afford.
He said, I wish to be taller.
The Death Star.
I wish to be big.
Hey, he couldn't find the Voltar machine.
When you're five, you didn't know. I didn't know this was going to be a lifelong condition.
He wished he was a baller.
Yeah.
I wish he had a rabbit and a hat, the cat, and a 6'4 Impala.
All right, guys. Any final thoughts for this wonderful All Play listener submitted Christmas episode.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thank you, Kelly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Merry Christmas to everybody out there.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Hope everyone has a great holiday.
Congratulations, Doc.
Thank you.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for this episode of the Ultimate Trivia Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget, give us that subscribe, drop a review for us. We'll see you next time with more trivia and more fun. Until then, keep your brain sharp and your bellies laughing. Happy holidays, everyone.
Dude, that is a fantastic shirt.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. You can get one yourself. You didn't know this?
No, I didn't. Where do you get that?
We got a merch store. You can find the link on our website. We partnered with Warrior Logo Wear, a veteran-owned custom apparel shop, and they've created a whole store for us. Doc, didn't you use this for your daughter's soccer team?
Oh, yeah, definitely, because they have no minimum order. So if I just need to buy a couple shirts, don't have to worry. It's not going to cost me anything extra.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Check them out yourself. You got a small business like we do or a sports program, you want some custom apparel, check out warriorlogowear.com, and they'll get you all hooked up.